Happy New Year from All Time Conspiracies. With me, Robin, today, are Martin.
Oh, Happy New Year, Robin.
Oh, Happy New Year, Martin, and Alex.
Happy New Year, Robin, and happy holidays to you.
Oh, yes, for happy our non religious friends. Exactly. Happy holidays to everybody. How was everyone's
Merry Christmas.
You have a good one?
Yeah, it was good. Just spent time with family, got the usual stuff, lots of clothes, lots of chocolate. I do, yeah. I'm very fortunate in that regard. Yeah, how about you, Martin?
So chilled. Really chilled. Just
so chill.
Family. Spent the morning at the wife's parents, evening at my parents. Chilled out. It's good. Really good. Nothing for New Year. Boring sod. But
that's all right, because you're here now.
I did stay up till midnight, right? So that's the main thing.
It's getting harder. Every year goes by, it's getting harder to stay up till midnight for me.
I stay up till midnight most nights. Not mainly out of choice, usually because the little one's up. But yeah, no good, relaxing. Didn't get up to too much, saw some friends, drank too much. Not consistently, don't worry. And just had a good time, yeah. What about you, Robin?
We watched, watched fireworks on the TV, the London fireworks.
They were good this year.
Yeah.
They were all right.
Yeah.
I was kind of lucky this year, actually, because we went and visited friends who live out, kind of slightly out of central London. Hmm. So we had a large view of them from afar away. Hmm. And it was good because you could see the scale of all the fireworks going across London. Mm. So that was fun. That was fun. just seeing how many there were.
Nice.
I always thought, how weird would it be if you were an alien invading Earth?
That would be weird.
And you invade on Earth, on New Year's Eve.
In a way, it would be the perfect time because the fireworks would hide the explosions.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
But what would they think? What are they doing down there? Are they, attacking each other? What's these fireworks all about?
I mean, they probably know we kill each other all the time anyway.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a plot for some kind of movie, isn't it?
Probably.
Aliens are in the fireworks.
Yeah.
Da-da-da.
At the stroke of midnight.
Ding, poof, poof, poof. Aliens did actually invade on Independence Day, but because of the fireworks scared them away, and no one actually realized that they were over there.
The tagline to that movie will be "Happy New World Order."
Like it? Yeah. Well, I don't like it,
but yeah. Everyone likes it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be bringing in the new year on All Time Conspiracies with some very interesting news items that have been emerged in the last couple of weeks, and an older piece which is sadly still a bit relevant, isn't it, Martin?
It is. And I spoke, we spoke about our favourite conspiracies. We were asked by one of our commenters what our favourite conspiracies were, and I brought this one up. So I thought, why not have it as the legacy piece if I claim to like it so much?
Which
I do. Hmm. I think it's a great one. And plus there's concrete evidence for it.
Yeah.
And it's something that when you tell people about it, they go, oh, I never knew that such a big company did something so shady. And it was, of course, the Ford Pinto controversy / incident of the early 1970s. So here we go. So in 1968, Japanese car companies were dominating the small car sector of the automobile market. As a result, the Ford president at the time, he was called Lee Iacocca, pushed to create the Ford Pinto, the smallest car that Ford had created for its American market since 1907.
Wow.
When, of course, you'd imagine that cars were much smaller anyway. So a trend for bigger cars was reversed to try and compete with the Japanese car companies. So he set extremely aggressive targets for both the cost of the car and the release date of it. It was to cost no more than $2,000 to the consumer and have an extremely punchy delivery deadline of just 2 years and 1 month. This was clearly an attempt to keep the costs low in order to remain competitive with these emerging market competitors.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a record turnaround time if successful.
Yeah.
It ended up being so. However, it was widely thought that the company, like Ford, would be able to achieve this because of its existing reputation as America's premier car production company. However, it quickly became clear during the development of the car that there was a dangerous problem with the fuel tank design.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So during crash testing, rear impacts would cause the filler neck, so where the car's filled with gas, to tear away from the sheet metal tank and spill fuel beneath the car.
Oh, man.
So the tank was also easily punctured by protruding bolts. So this was obviously a major design flaw with the car. Yeah. The problems are also exacerbated by the fact that the Pinto was so compact because it was so small. So this meant that the crush room, what's called the crush room, where the car can safely crush, was reduced. So it meant that there was obviously this risk of serious fire with the fuel igniting.
Because it makes the fuel tank more likely to be crushed.
Exactly.
Because it's such a small crumple zone.
Exactly. Right. So any kind of rear impact, any kind of force, the tests were at 20 and then 30 miles an hour, caused this fuel to leak. Yeah.
30 miles an hour.
So quick.
It was a tiny, tiny death trap, basically.
Supposedly so. Okay. Supposedly so. Mm. It meant that there were issues. As we'll see later, this wasn't necessarily exclusive to Ford, but they did know about it. And as you'll find out, decided not to do much about it. So as a result of this this testing, the engineering team, who knew about the faults, came up with a number of solutions to negate these issues. The first one was to borrow a design from a Ford that was already in use called the Capri. That was one of the solutions. And the other was to install tank shields to prevent the punctures from the bolts.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. However, management, including Lee Iacocca, stance was to keep the costs as low as possible, and these alterations would have cost more money due to the engineering costs and also the delay to production of the vehicle, but not that much more. In fact, the Ford company calculated that it would only actually cost $11 per car to make these changes. Now, $11, yes, it's a little bit more back then than it is today. But if the car is being sold for $2,000, which doesn't sound like much for a car, $11 in that grand scheme isn't that much.
Yeah,
now, I looked it up and saw what the average profit margin is for a car in production today. I mean, it may vary for the Pinto, but it's between 8 to 10%. So if we're going around 10%, the profit margin on a $2,000 car would be, say, $200.
Yeah. Mm.
So instead of it being a $200 profit margin, if you take away the $11, it would be $189.
That's still $189 of profit. That sounds all right.
It sounds all right to me, considering that you're going to be hopefully preventing serious injury or death. So
But also, like, as the consumer, even if you put that cost onto the consumer, I'd happily pay an extra $11 if it meant I wasn't going to die in a fiery explosion.
That's the thing. I mean, you're paying $2,000. They're obviously going to market it as the car that's $2,000. $2,011. Jesus, no way.
You just raised an interesting point. I hope marketers and companies never take that approach, though. Just like, you bring out a really crappy smartphone, just like, well, it's not as shit as it could be.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, it seems like I'm a no-brainer, but obviously they calculated their profits and decided not to take this. In fact, they calculated that these changes would cost $140 million based on the amount of cars that they were going to produce, which, when you think of it as the total, $140 million is, of course, a lot of money. Mm. When you think of it per car, it doesn't seem like much at all. Mm. $2,000 car, $11. Mm.
$140 million.
Yeah, they're producing a lot of these Pintos.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah,
Huge.
Wow. Yeah.
For that time as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So they weigh this up against the cost of paying out those injured or killed in a cost benefit analysis, and found out that to pay off these people that would most likely be injured or killed through accidents would cost around $50 million. Whereas the changes would to the car, engineering changes, would cost $140 million. So almost two thirds less to pay off people as it would to make the changes. So in effect, they were weighing up human life versus profit.
Yeah, that's kind of where it kind of crosses a line for me. Because at this point, I'm thinking, okay, it's a business decision. They're a business. They make money. Like, sure, morals aren't there, like, you know, first and foremost. But there, you're saying that they've actually weighed up the cost of human life.
Exactly.
That's shocking.
That's pretty appalling.
It is pretty scary. So they decided against fixing these kind of deadly faults and started, firing up the means of production. So in 1974, 3 years after the Pinto had first been put on sale, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration began to investigate the faulty fuel tank, which had led to a number of reported accidents and incidents. Yet the number of cases and the true extent of the Pinto's faults were not actually properly known until 3 years later in 1977, when the American magazine Mother Jones exposed internal documents from Ford outlining the issues that the Ford Pinto actually had with its fuel tank.
Right.
Yes. So what they basically exposed was the fact that Ford knew all about the issues with the fuel tank, and also that they decided against making these necessary changes in the name of profitability. So it seemed that Ford's gamble actually hadn't paid off in 1977 when a court awarded $125 million in damages to Richard Grimshaw, who had been injured in a low-speed accident when his Pinto had burst into flames. Hadn't died, but had been significantly injured. However, this penalty was actually later reduced to only $3.5 million instead of $125.
Jeez.
So it seemed like the $125 was actually put in place because this was a number that was higher than the Pinto's profit margins,
right.
Like just. Yeah. So right. It seemed like they were almost doing it as a statement that was like, yeah. If you mess about with safety regulations, you're going to be punished and you're not going to make any profits. Mm. And then in reality, they're like, okay, well, but $125 million may be a little bit excessive.
Isn't that often the case in those kind of damage lawsuits where the jury is asked to pick the number,
yep.
And they usually impose a huge fine.
Yep.
And then there's an appeal, which is usually successful because the corporations are very powerful. But then in the appeals, it's usually the judges, and therefore they tend to have a more, what one might consider, reasonable.
Yes, well, certainly more lenient.
Yeah, more lenient is a better idea.
Yeah, it's almost like the initial figure gets bandied about in the media as, okay, big business won't win if they screw over the consumer. And then it's like, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Actually, they need to be. Actually, there's a. Yeah. We have a vested interest in keeping these companies in business.
Of course, that has long term ramifications because if big business is like, sure, we'll get fined, but we'll only get fined a few million. Yeah. Mm. Is that really solving any problems?
Exactly.
Really, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's easier to ask for forgiveness instead of asking for permission.
Boom.
Oh, yes. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
I have heard
I didn't
that
make that up again.
Do you live your life by that mantra or?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So it's not actually known how many people died as a result of the Pinto's faults, but estimates range from 25 to more than 150. So quite a wide range.
Oh.
So
I could not live with that on my conscience. If I worked for Ford, I would not be able to.
That's the thing, right?
This is the thing. The Ford Pinto is seen as a case of malpractice.
Yeah.
If you go to a business school, they'll talk about the cost benefit analysis of the Ford Pinto and the controversy. I think it was included in Time magazine's top. It sounds really boring, but top, was it Time? I think it might have been Time. It was one of the magazines that reported on it anyway, mm. of the top 10 worst kind of recalls of cars.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
And but the fact is this going to be? Is this widespread? Is it a widespread business practice, or is it just specific to Pinto? Mm. They later, like analysis later suggested that actually the Pinto wasn't as bad as some other cars of the subcompact car category in terms of how dangerous it was, but of course it had been exposed.
Mm.
So it's almost like Ford's reaction to the fact that they had found that the car was so dangerous that was the real issue, as opposed to actually its safety, how dangerous it was, compared to others within the subcompact car category.
Mm.
It wasn't actually perhaps the fire trap that the media made it out to be. However, it's Ford's knowledge of the Pinto and their choice to choose the profits over the safety that is the real conspiracy and the real scandal.
So
my question to you guys is there actually blood on Ford's hands, or is it actually just the cost-benefit analysis that's done by any successful business?
Wow, what a big question. But I think it's definitely like someone in the company made this decision.
Yeah.
More than one person, by the sounds of it. Like, I guess, how many people were involved in this decision-making process? And I think actually the more people that are involved, the kind of easier it is to rationalize it in your head, maybe, because then it's kind of, what's the...
And the group mentality, kind of.
Yeah, the group mentality. Yeah. There's a kind of a term for it. A term for it where you kind of don't feel like you've got responsibility. It's like diffusion of responsibility amongst a group of people. But actually, yeah, I mean, it sounds like they totally got away with it. but yeah, by the sounds of things, no one went to jail over it.
No, I would say they were 100% culpable for those deaths because they knew it was a risk. They went so far as to analyze the potential risks to them as a business in the light of actual risks to human life, and then decided it was okay. It's funny though, because that's exactly the logic. Isn't that the same logic that governments around the world always use for everything they do?
Yeah, you look at international conflict, it's what's the collateral, is it worth it? And so that's why I ask, is this unique in itself? Yes, it's a scandal that's been brought to light. But there are other car companies at the time. I think it was Datsun, but I don't want to mention
other car companies safety records, are available.
Whose safety records were actually worse than, and surely they still did the same tests and had the same conclusions.
Yeah.
But of course, Ford is such a supposedly reputable company that they are automatically going to come out as. As you know, as the bad guys of the whole scandal,
it seems like the main crux of the problem, as well as them making the horrible decision to produce this broken car, is like they weighed up that the fines they'll get won't be as bad as the as actually just like trying to fix it. So surely the problem is the fact that they can ask for forgiveness and keep going, like the penalties for I don't know, for businesses, big business, needs to be more, I guess.
This raises the question of oversight, isn't there?
Yeah, like, there's no kind of oversight. They could just
there's a failure on two levels there. There's a failure to punish Ford. I'm assuming that there was an assumption on the part of the government that the market would regulate itself and the people responsible for those decisions would get fired, right? There's an assumption that would happen. It doesn't always happen.
No.
I have a feeling it didn't happen in this case, which is obviously wrong. There should be a law that says if you are found guilty of doing something demonstrably wrong and probably criminal, you automatically get fired regardless. Mm. That would be a great law. The second thing is those cars should never have made it onto the market in the first place if the government safety regulators were doing their job.
Yes.
Mm. Now, obviously, putting the onus on the companies to test these things is right. That's the way it should be. The company should make a good product in the first place. But if the company can say to themselves, yeah, we can get away with a substandard product because they know the government's not going to check it, then there's a failing on the government's part.
Yes. Mm. No, so, that's very true. You know,
It's one that's interesting. Like self-regulating industry, in theory, is a wonderful thing, but in practice never seems to work. But then, I mean, the problem is, as we know, time and time again, government regulations or government regulators always seem to have their own issues, usually regarding their funding and regarding the government's attitude towards businesses and cooperating with business. Mm. So there's no perfect system. It would be nice if we had a kind of... Sometimes, I have to admit, in my darkest moments, I find myself agreeing with Anakin Skywalker in Episode 2 of Attack of the Clones.
Where he says,
benevolent dictator, you know, is a good way to go. And it's like, it'd be nice if we had a good external source, someone who we could trust to be that perfect, kind of like, you know, I will step down and impose authority here. Except, of course, that person would never exist.
The only thing I agree with Anakin Skywalker on is that I don't like sand.
I agree with him.
Of course, it's rough.
I agree with him that Obi-Wan was holding him back.
It's true.
Obi-Wan, he's holding me back. That's the line. So, Anakin, I'm with you there. He was holding you back.
If you're not with me, then you're against me.
Classic dialogue. I mean, I actually think that the young Anakin Skywalker probably has the better lines. Let's be honest.
Like, well, child Anakin Skywalker.
Because he's at least a child, and it's a dialogue for him. Yes, he delivers them poorly, but some of that Hayden Christensen dialogue is just so bad.
Are you so bad?
Yeah. I like that line.
Now this is pod racing.
The
actual actor was
Jake Lloyd.
He was arrested for street racing, I think. and I just really hope at some point during the race he said that line.
Yeah. It's pod racing.
That'd be great.
But also kind of sad.
Yeah.
He should be in Fast and Furious.
Yeah,
he should. A convicted. convicted speed racer.
About to say then, convicted pod racer. I mean, just for he should get some kind of award just for service to memes.
Yes, because, definitely.
And Ewan McGregor, the two of them.
Yeah.
The meme awards. Let's start it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how popular
the meme
that would
awards
be.
Hosted by All Time Conspiracy.
Well, maybe.
What do you think? Yeah, what meme think? Awards. Yeah,
could we pull it maybe. Off? Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, I think we've kind of lost track of.
Possibly got
off
topic.
So yeah. That's Ford Pinto. It's one of my favourites. It shows how the depths that big business can go to choose profits over human life, and I'm sure that happens in most industries. And uncovering something like this really, I think, does shed light on the distrust or at least questioning that we should have for big business, especially when it comes to safety practices and regulation.
Mm. That was a great summary.
That was fantastic.
Thanks very much.
And you're right, it's a fantastic one because it raises all these fantastic ethical debates. And on the other hand, it's also real. You know, it's nice to find one that's
there's
hardcore, 100%,
yeah.
No doubt whatsoever.
Yep.
This happened.
I'm sure that a lot of you guys at home will have heard of the Ford Pinto, but I think that, you know, just because of our demographic age and my age as well, I didn't know about this until we covered it on All Time Conspiracies.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. So, which was a few years ago now, but it was one that really, really grabbed my attention. So,
yes, please do let us know your thoughts via our Twitter feed, our Instagram, and our Facebook. You can find us all under All Time Conspiracies.
Indeed.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. So let's move on to some more recent stuff.
Mm.
The news. I have one that I'd quite like to discuss with you. Fairly brief one, because it's kind of like groundbreaking news.
Nice.
Okay.
Groundbreaking, but not on Earth.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, and it is the news that China has landed a robot spacecraft on the far side of the moon.
Mm. The dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Snap. Mm.
And apparently this is the first time anyone's ever done this.
Apparently. I mean, if they've done it.
If they have done it. Ooh, yep. That's crazy.
The question.
How do we know it's on the dark side of the moon? We can't see it with our own eyes.
Nice.
So the I think I'm pronouncing this right, the Chang'e 4 probe touched down in the South Pole Aitken Basin, according to Chinese state media, at 10:26 Beijing time.
According to Chinese state media.
On the 3rd of January, which is... I think that's fantastic. I think it's very, very exciting. Officially, the probe is just there to do some tests. I think it's biological tests, which at first I was like, oh, yeah, that's standard. And I just thought, biology on the moon? Mm. This is interesting.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
But of course, there are many other suspicions about what the probe is really doing.
Ooh, yeah.
Some people obviously think it might be looking for aliens on the far side of the moon. Some people think this isn't actually the first time they've done it. This is just the first time they've said they've done it. Mm. Other people, of course, doubt whether China actually could ever do something like this. I'm inclined to think they have done it. They've sent pictures, and it seems perfectly possible that China are capable of doing this.
What's the argument against them being able to do it other than Eurocentrism?
I think that's the main thing. There are people who are skeptical that we can ever leave the planet, that we can ever do anything outside of our own atmosphere.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why China people
specific.
Are so skeptical.
Yeah.
The Chinese, moon is a hologram as well.
So. Yes, true. The moon is a hologram.
I kind of meant more like why are people skeptical of China as opposed to, I mean, talking about why if we land on the moon is a whole other debate, isn't it? But yeah,
no, it's an interesting one. I think you're right. I assume it's just kind of perhaps denial that China could be doing this instead of America or Europe, who of course have always been, in our minds at least, the leaders in space exploration. Mm. But now Asia is going to take over. We know this is going to happen. They're going to get ahead in the space race, I think. Unless something's done to unite all the countries in their space exploration efforts.
Mm.
So there's interesting questions about what they'll find from a conspiracy angle. But there's interesting questions about what they're going to do with this. So China in recent years under Xi Jinping has moving more towards a dictatorship. And recently, in fact, very recently, on New Year's Day, I think, restated their aims to claim, is it Taiwan? They're very keen. They're getting more and more expansionist is a fear people have in the West about China. And of course, expansionism includes space. And China has just landed a probe on the moon within weeks of NASA announcing it wants to build a station on the moon.
Yeah.
And of course, officially, I believe, the moon is neutral territory. Nobody can claim the moon. But in practice, if you get there first, you can do what you like, right?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone owns a bit of the moon, don't they? There's a popular 2000, get some space rock.
I've got a beachside residence in the Sea of Tranquility. Yeah.
Oh, sounds great, actually. Yeah, it's perfect place for that. Yeah. Not much sea, though. Lots of beach, not much sea. But of course, there's another side to this, which not many people have considered, but which is interesting. The only way to communicate with this probe on the other side of the moon is by relaying signals via satellites. So some people think that maybe this whole project is not so much about landing on the moon as it is testing their ability to control a spacecraft on that side of the moon using their satellite network as it exists. Which, of course, has huge implications or ramifications for weapons potential in space. And everybody agrees, including Neil deGrasse Tyson, that outer space is the next frontier of warfare. I mean, it was inevitable, really. But, you know, you've got Trump with his Space Force. You've got the Russians with their mysterious satellites that they keep sending up and saying, there's nothing there. With their robots that can handle weapons that are being sent to outer space. And, of course, China sending more and more satellites up there. And again, with some suspiciously secretive agenda in some of their space missions. So so this mission might actually be less about conquering the moon and more about testing their satellite's capability to reach out. And, you know, because currently it is illegal by international treaty to put any kind of weapons in space. But again, all it takes is somebody to ignore that.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
Because they've got a weapon in space and you haven't.
That's it.
I thought that was very interesting.
That is interesting. I mean, it does ask questions about whether we could be entering another space race of a different kind. And if it's more than just a kind of a bilateral USA-Russia, it's more of a USA-Russia-China, maybe India.
Yeah, well, India's got this huge space program. Definitely, it's got some project lined up this year, which we'll be covering in a future video.
Fantastic.
On the channel.
I think I was looking as well at that kind of timeline for like what they plan on doing, because they've launched satellites and like done flybys and orbits of the moon. And I think this is the first time they've landed on that side of the moon. And I think the next one that they plan on doing was to put another rover on that side of the moon or something.
Right, yeah.
But like I think the plan was eventually to send astronauts up there. But yeah, it's interesting. What are they hoping to do? Well, also, like, part of the aim of this mission, they said that because no one knows the geology of that region of the moon, would it be different from the other region? Would it?
I guess. We'll see.
I guess if it's the far side of the moon, I guess that has more... That's more rugged and has more impact craters from, like, meteors and stuff, doesn't it?
Because
it kind of protects the Earth from...
I suppose it might have some... minerals from meteors then the other side doesn't have.
I'm not sure.
So that is I guess that is a little bit of support for the kind of the supposed excuse that they're actually testing. You know, it seems like if there is reason for them to be testing the biology of that side of the moon. It'd be interesting to see what their findings are. No, it's exactly the same. It's like any data? Nope.
I was going to say
it's actually exactly the same.
I was going to say, more specifically, it'd be interesting to see what data they release.
That's
true.
Interesting, good story.
Well, thank you.
See how that develops.
Have you got any comments from our viewers like to discuss? Highlights of the week is always reading your comments on our YouTube videos.
And we've, you know, like, been away over Christmas as well, so it's been nice to come back and read some of them. So we got a comment from the FBI.
Oh, really? Wow.
The FBI.
Oof, the FBI.
It's probably not. Yeah. It's probably not just like a random person. It probably is the actual FBI. They say, next video, does the FBI control this channel? Firstly, I would have thought that they would know about it if they did.
Yeah, why were they asking us?
Yeah. It's interesting that the FBI has 220 subscribers.
Well, they are fairly secretive.
Yeah, that's true. But does the FBI control our channel?
Well, I know you have to ask them.
Good point. They should know, as the FBI.
Actually,
I don't
really
think so, unless one of you guys is an FBI agent.
It's just a passive-aggressive message from them. The FBI does control our channel, but we've disappointed them by going off topic a bit recently. So they're just commenting saying, who controls the channel, guys? It's the FBI.
You've been saying some negative stuff about us recently. I don't want to hear it. Okay?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. We do get this. We do get this. This kind of question a little bit, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, are you guys part of?
Who do you work for?
Yeah. Who do you work for?
I don't know why people, why the FBI would control us, since that's an internal American thing, and we're there's no secret to assume or to say. We're based in Britain.
British.
There's not much we can kind of. I don't think there's much we can do to influence American politics or American political thought.
I just put on a great British accent. Yeah, actually from Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's true. Alex is actually Hugh Jackman.
I am. Yeah,
got the shirt, got the beard, getting there.
Yeah, need to work on the abs, but
although isn't Hugh Jackman Australian?
He is. That's what I'm for. He was in Oklahoma. So
I see. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Sorry.
I am actually Vin Diesel. Out of the Vin Diesel bodysuit. The zip goes up the back.
Yeah, just put a little wig on and get the go.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Any more comments?
Yeah.
So Michael Starlight says happy
Michael Starlight.
Is that his real name?
Michael Starlight.
I like
I don't know.
If that is your real name, I love it if it is.
I mean, he says happy new year, all time conspiracies.
Oh, happy new year.
You've had a great year, keep up the good work, and have a great new year 2019.
You know what?
So now I feel like, I bet you feel like a dick, don't you?
I do,
don't taking the mickey out of his name.
It has been.
It's lovely.
I'm a fan of his name. I like it.
Yeah.
It has been a good year. We've launched the podcast.
Yeah.
We've Conspiracy Files has come into its own as well.
Yeah, really?
I think that's really kicked on because that was launched in, what, late 2017, wasn't it? So
yeah.
We've had a good year, a full calendar year of that, which has been great. It's
we've
been
got
good.
This new digs.
New digs.
Yes.
New digs, yeah, which is great. Yeah, it has been a pretty good year. 2018
thanks
worked
to everyone.
Out all right. Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who's watched and commented and engaged because it's that's what's allowed it to carry on going.
No, we've said it before and I'll definitely say it again. We wouldn't be here, wouldn't be anywhere without you lot.
Yeah.
All our listeners, all our watchers. It's been great. And
yeah, no, genuinely.
Here is to a good 2019. Although obviously in global terms, good is an interesting word to use.
Relative, isn't it?
Yeah. What's good for us is probably bad for the planet, let's be honest.
given
what we do.
Here's to no conspiracies in 2019.
I'm not sure how I'd feel about that.
Yeah.
If there were no bad things or secret things to uncover in the world, I would feel happy, obviously, for humanity, but pretty sad for my...
If there was objectively, like, if we knew
if
for
we
certain
could prove that
was
nothing.
There was nothing. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's just very transparent, very open.
Yeah.
What would we do then?
It's kind of like a counter-terrorist officer's greatest ambition must be surely to put himself out of a job.
That's true.
Mm.
Yeah. I guess if that ever does happen, we'll just be like, job done.
Job done.
Check it in.
Come back a year later. Well. Almost. Alex, you've got a news topic as well, haven't you?
I do, yes. Yeah. So... Sadly, conspiracies do still exist, and sadly, there are sad news stories in the world still. But I wanted to talk about Netflix this week.
That's not what that.
Anything good on?
Just what?
Oh,
I've been
actually,
watching. It's been very sad.
Did you see Bandersnatch or play? Is Bandersnatch?
Oh,
yeah,
Bandersnatch. Yeah.
Did you play it?
I haven't
watched it. Play
no,
it yet.
Not yet.
I won't talk about it.
I'm not sure I could add much to that, but
it's
it looks interesting.
It's. I enjoyed it, but by the end, it's very much like okay. I'm enjoying what's happening here, but there's a part about two thirds of the way through where I was like, should I just not do this anymore?
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Right. And then I was like, I'm glad I did because now it makes more sense.
How long did it take?
Like almost 2 hours, bloody ages. It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it's long, but it's something different. The thing is, it's something different for Netflix and it's something different for TV in quotation marks.
Yeah.
But it's like there are loads of kind of point and click adventure games with different hour endings and stuff. Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything, but anyway.
But as is usually the case with Black Mirror, it's pretty provocative. Mm. And
it's worth doing. It's worth doing.
It feels like the first time I've seen it, though, in a kind of really well acted, like high.
Yeah,
relatively high budget TV series thing. I think that'd be interesting. Yeah.
I'm jealous as well because it's something I've always wanted to do myself. And
as a like film.
Yeah. I'd love to have done that kind of.
You wanted to be on
choose
set.
Your own adventure, but a film, interactive movie like that.
Yeah. I've seen
they beat you to it.
Yeah.
bastards.
Well, by a very long time. I wasn't going to do it anytime soon.
I've seen some YouTube channels do it as well, like Choose Your Own Adventures, but like with different...
I feel like we kind of tried it, didn't we? Years ago, there was an attempt. We didn't... I'm not sure we actually launched it in the end, because we tried it and it was kind of like a bit...
I remember this.
A bit shaky. Mm. It may not have been an all-time conspiracies. Maybe with our friends on another channel.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I don't think I was involved in
back
that.
Back when way before we were doing voiceover stuff. Way before.
Interesting. Sorry, Alex.
No,
I hijacked you.
I mean, I didn't particularly want to talk about Bandersnatch. Is that the name of it?
I think so.
No, I wanted to talk about
Netflix.
On Wednesday, they were criticized by a human rights group for pulling an episode of the TV show Patriot Act series from the comedian Hasan Minhaj's his series.
That's like the Daily Show and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He was on the Daily Show, wasn't he?
They pulled the episode in Saudi Arabia because the episode criticized the Crown Prince.
Wow.
Yeah, which is kind of like...
That was Netflix's decision.
That's Netflix's decision, and that's basically the basis for the story. But it kind of ties back into the whole, what's the company's moral rights, and do they have to follow local law and that kind of stuff? Or,
I mean, that's a complex one, isn't it?
The comedian used his second episode, which was released on October 28th, to criticize Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman over the killing of the writer Jamal Khashoggi.
Yeah.
And also the... criticizing the coalition for the war in Yemen and that kind of stuff. So it's pretty heavy topics. Amnesty International said that Netflix's censorship of this is further proof of a relentless crackdown on freedom of expression.
That's going some, actually.
Yeah, and PEN America, the literary and human rights organization, said the move legitimizes repression, which... Yeah, kind of does.
I can see that.
Whereas Netflix has replied to this and said that they were literally just following local law, so they kind of had to do it.
Yeah, there's a specific law against that kind of thing. Although it's not... the name of the law sounds like it's kind of anti-terrorism and anti-hatred,
isn't it?
But it just so happens to be...
Also anti-anything bad you say about the royal family. But interestingly, a different stance on this was the comedian himself, who said that it blows my mind. That's a different quote. He basically said that, like, what a way of censoring the program to make it a big news story, blow it up, and then still promote it on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
So actually, even though it's censored over there, people over there still can watch it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, gained so much attention.
Do you think
that was Netflix's main aim with this?
You mean underlying agenda to...
Yeah, like an underlying agenda
make
to
it a
actually
news story.
Censor it to make it a news story and make this episode even more popular.
Because now I'm aware of Saudi Arabian law in a way that I wasn't before.
Yeah, and this whole thing...
I'm not sure that was Netflix's aim, but... to promote the show. I mean, I don't know. They've got so many shows. Will people sign up based on that? I don't know. But
this whole incident's kind of basically come out negatively against Saudi Arabia, probably more than that episode ever would have. In a way, this is like, it's quite a big news story for this week.
Because now they're like killjoys as well as
exactly,
murderers.
Being a murderer is one thing, but when you take away TV, you've crossed a line.
You can kill a man, but you kill my joy, and you just crossed a line. It's funny because we now live in the age of what I'm going to call passive censorship, right? Which is everything is so privatized and commercialized that it's all about commercial interests. So if something that in the olden days, the ruling powers would just censor it outright and people would never know about it. But these days, they don't censor it outright. They just make it look damaging for you commercially. So companies just left, right, and center, just get rid of that thing that could potentially damage their profit margin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, because obviously Netflix does not want to get banned in Saudi Arabia because it's a huge market.
Hmm.
So I'm sure they would, there's probably some, you know this, Martin, I'm sure, better than me, but there's probably some kind of term which is like business cooperation or, some kind of term that basically translates to passive censorship, yes, where you don't have to say outright, you can never do this. You just say, that thing is bad for our country, therefore we won't let you air it here. And so companies panic.
I don't know if there is a particular word for that, but I definitely understand what you're saying. From a business standpoint, there's a thing of how outraged are people? I think that's become a common theme today as well. It's like there's actual people who are outraged, and there's people who see outrage and go, oh, people are outraged about that, so it must be outrageous. Mm.
News articles that blow it up. It's like, oh, there's, you know, a dozen people over there who are really annoyed by this, and then they make it, it's like millions of people are outraged over this.
My point is, does it actually damage Netflix's share in Saudi Arabia, or is the media and the PR against them, is that the actual damaging factor? Because the bottom line profit margin would be people unsubscribing from the service, because that's how they make their money. Will people unsubscribe in Saudi Arabia because of this? Maybe some who are keen loyalists, but over time, will that stop people watching Netflix? Maybe not, but they have to be seen to be, I don't know, within that region as being tolerant.
But if you break the law, if Netflix broke the Saudi Arabian law, they would probably make themselves liable to being banned outright.
Yes.
Right. In Saudi Arabia, which would be a huge problem. Because even if the people in Saudi Arabia didn't care about this one episode of a TV show that they might not have watched.
That's a good point.
And then also, to like follow on from that, then that would be fully censoring, wouldn't it? Of all of Netflix's catalogue, if they were banned. Yeah. Like, in effect. So it's, it's a tough decision for them, actually.
But then how far does this go? I mean, you look at Netflix isn't available in China, is it? It's not available in China.
I don't think so.
You think?
Maybe.
Could they make a censored, sanitized version for the Chinese market?
They already control different markets, get different programs, and get different release dates for different programs.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure in a couple of years, Netflix will reach the scale where, to minimize any kind of damage to their revenue, they will censor effectively certain programs in certain markets. Like if there were a documentary made about the Khashoggi thing, which is the kind of thing Netflix would do, it would be aired in America and Europe, but they probably wouldn't air it in Saudi Arabia. But they wouldn't even schedule it to be aired, right? They just wouldn't even bother.
Yeah.
And that's censorship. That's helping the Saudis. And like you say, you raise a very good point about outrage in this day and age. Like, is outrage really genuine a lot of the time? But I think even if you're only outraging a dozen people, if one of them is the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia,
well, that's it, isn't it?
Or the President of the United States, or the President of Russia, then there's going to be consequences, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, especially if you outrage all three at once.
Yeah. So I think
that's what a lot
outrage
of,
is worth reporting if it's those people, right?
That's what a lot of commenters also said about this comedian. Just don't go back to Saudi Arabia for a while. Probably, or visit any embassies.
Yeah, probably for the best. Recent track record, not great.
Well, let's talk about something a bit lighter, shall we, and move on to our quiz. All right, time for the first quiz of 2019. Quiz of the year, not themed around Happy New Year, I'm afraid, but a kind of general knowledge conspiracies type quiz.
Nice.
To kick off the new year. Gentlemen, show me your buzzers.
Okay, so I've gone for Owen Wilson saying wow, if it ever decides to load.
Wow.
There we go.
Nice. So
that's my buzzer.
And I've gone for a cat going meow. Sounds a bit odd.
Those do
it?
Sound quite similar, actually.
So, are you okay?
You might struggle to tell them apart.
Are you okay? Shall I choose a different one?
No, I'm joking.
Okay. I'll stick with it.
All right, then. 10 questions, as always, with a tiebreaker.
I'm determined to win more this year.
Yeah,
resolutions.
Not gonna lose.
Okay. I feel actually. How many? No, I won't ask you.
I've won one.
You've won one. Okay, you've won one. Well, now's your chance. Take revenge.
Okay.
Okay. Question one: how many Russians believe the moon landings were faked?
How many Russians? What?
How many Russians? Yeah.
In like, number, like percentage.
Give me a percentage. Yeah.
Nearest ones.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's actually going to be lower than we think it is.
Okay.
I think it's going to be around 10%.
I think it's going to be like a fair bit higher than that.
Okay. Okay.
Mars, I'm going to go for 35%.
Oof. Well, closest wins. Martin is closest by 7%.
No!
It is 28% of Russians, as of the latest survey, believe the moon landings were faked. Ooh, which is actually quite a lot.
Yeah.
Although, guess how many Britons do?
Oh, much lower. Much lower. 6%.
I think it's probably higher. I think it's around 35.
I mean, you're closer. It's 25.
Oh, really?
25% of British people think the moon landings were faked. 20% of Americans believe they're faked.
Less Americans than British.
Yeah, fewer Americans. I mean, percentage-wise. But also, it's an American thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, you want to believe, you know.
You want to believe you got there first.
America.
The interesting thing, though, is that this survey was done a few years ago. 20% of Americans believe it was faked. Mm. But in 1999, a similar survey found 6% of Americans believe they were faked.
Okay, so it's increased over time.
It's leapt up massively in the last 2 decades.
What do you think that is?
I think as time passes, people like the distance between now and then, it was back then, people could remember them. And
Yeah.
So you have that personal connection maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also post 9/11 era, people just doubt the truth a lot more, I think. Yeah.
And the other thing is, there's always the question of why haven't we been back? Yeah. The longer time passes,
the more you ask that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Was it because we never went in the first place?
Exactly.
Okay. Question number two. In 2016, an internet troll spread a rumor that which country didn't exist?
Wow. I want to say Finland.
It was Finland.
Well done.
Well done.
I was debating.
I didn't know that.
Because there's also one with Australia, and I was thinking, was this the Finland
this
one or the Australia
one? Yeah,
one?
Finland one.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's one all. Nice.
Very good, very good.
Okay. Question three. On which island in the Indian Ocean is flight MH370 allegedly hidden? Martin?
Oh my god. I can't wait, stop. Are you okay? Reunion Island. Is that right?
Ah, no.
Oh.
No, I don't think it's the name of the island, isn't it?
I don't know if I'm going to get this one.
Although, I'm now wondering if I've got the right answer.
Is it like a well-known place?
Yeah, you'll have heard of it.
Oh.
But not in a holiday sense, but you'll have heard of it.
Oh.
Like a name. Like somebody's name.
It's a name.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can we have a clue?
It's a Spanish or Hispanic sounding name. Yes.
Mm.
No. No buzzers. Nothing going.
I don't know.
No.
Okay. Well, it's technically an atoll.
Okay.
It's very small. It's Diego Garcia.
Diego Garcia,
where the
course.
American base is.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So no points for that one. Question four.
Okay.
The US government, sorry. What did the US government allegedly do to the USS Eldridge on the 28th of October, 1943? USS Eldridge. Yes, Martin?
Sank it.
Didn't sink it. Yes, Alex.
Built it?
No. Oh. I'll give you another guess.
Okay.
It's something we have covered on the channel before, and something you almost certainly heard of. 1943, 28th of October, 1943. The government did something allegedly.
Is this a Port of Chicago?
Possibly.
So detonated a...
No, not that one. Not that one. No. Alex, one
not
more
sure
guess.
Then.
Did they have a false flag attack on it or something?
No. They allegedly turned it invisible.
What?
Okay.
This is the Philadelphia experiment, which you may have heard of.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, there's no proof for any of this. And in fact, a lot of people think this is just a hoax, something made up, one of the early creepypastas. But before creepypasta was a thing. So again, no points, guys. You're letting me down.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry about this.
God.
All right, question five. Still
one all.
Buzz
is not ready.
Okay. So this is testing your pop knowledge, your pop music knowledge.
Pop music.
The great late Prince.
Yeah.
Artist formerly known as, and subsequently known as again, Prince. Which conspiracy theory did Prince sing about in his song The Dreamer? Now we've definitely talked about.
Okay.
What could it be?
Wow.
Oh.
Is it chemtrails?
It is chemtrails.
I knew it. He was a chemtrail.
He believed in chemtrails. Nice.
Yeah.
And he sang about it in his song The Dreamer. Well done. So 2-1 to Alex. Question 6.
Questions.
So the National UFO Reporting Center logs and keeps track of all the UFO sightings in the US and I think globally as well.
Okay.
And since UFO sightings peaked in 2014, now 5 years ago, by how much have UFO sightings dropped? Give me a percentage. How much do you think they've dropped since 2014?
Right, shall I go first?
Well, it's a puzzle.
Closest wins.
As in it's closest.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
good. I'm going to say it's dropped by 50%.
50.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go for 49%.
Oh. I'm afraid Martin wins.
No!
Yeah.
Why?
Because...
I'm trying to play the game.
You might be surprised by this. 77%.
Whoa. Wow. I thought it would be high because it has to be significant for it to be
fact. To comment on it. But yeah, 77%. They've gone from having 8,600 sightings in 2014 to around 2,000.
Any reason why?
The Men in Black are silencing people.
Yeah, maybe.
It is interesting. The Men in Black may be silencing people. This is a genuine possible explanation. I think it also just kind of... There is a suspicion that it's just kind of going out of fashion.
What movies came out?
I mean, Independence Day Resurgence came out in 2016. So you think maybe there'd been a spike then. But no, there's no real explanation. But it's happening across the world. In China, they're dropping massively. In the US, they've dropped massively. In Britain, they're virtually non-existent anymore.
Maybe the aliens visited and now they've completed whatever they came here for and they've literally just gone.
Oh, you never know.
They're just heading off.
They're just trips. So that's... The holiday destination Earth has just fallen out of popularity.
Skeptics might say that it's easier now than ever before to disprove because everyone has camera phones on them. So it's like, if you spotted one, why don't you take a video? And if someone does take a video, then maybe if they aren't genuine, then maybe they can more easily be disproved.
True, but maybe people... who would have reported it back then now show the pictures to their family and friends. They're like, that's just a satellite, mate. Or it's just a cloud, you know.
Yeah, plus
so
I think
discouraged from reporting it.
There's certainly more emphasis put on putting these things online onto websites and such, and Reddit and that, as opposed to going to the UFO society.
Actually,
so it's like where they're reported to.
Yeah,
it's more like
community
based.
I do think the National UFO Reporting Center, their job is to research.
Okay.
So they gather, they're not reported to, I mean, they might be, but they generally gather reported sightings.
Okay.
But you're right, they may look at sightings that were reported to police and the government rather than going online. Might be just that people are tweeting them more than they're reporting them to the police.
Yep.
That's true. Just like, as an aside, isn't there a rise in people who aren't reporting crimes, they're tweeting them? And the police are like, come on, guys, you've got to give us a call.
Yeah.
Anyway, question 7. It's currently 2-2, I think.
2-2,
Now, this is going to be a tough one, but I'll be amazed if you get this one. But it's quite fun. I had to talk about it.
Amazed.
There's a quiz held annually by the Israeli embassy in Nigeria.
Loads about them.
And it's at the centre of a new conspiracy.
Oh.
What I want you to tell me is, what is the quiz about?
Israeli-Nigeria.
The Israeli embassy in Nigeria holds an annual quiz, heart of a new conspiracy, but what is the quiz?
I'm trying to think what the conspiracy would be.
Or what a quiz could be about.
I'm not sure.
To get the conspiracy side of it.
It's a really weird one. Not the quiz, the conspiracy.
I think if we haven't heard of it, we probably won't get it right.
Is it something we'd be able to guess?
Yeah, I'll give you a guess. There's a logical thing here if you think about Israel's kind of... the
stance.
Not stance, just kind of like, you know, the formation of Israel and what it's about. There's a kind of obvious topic here.
Quiz... Oh, goodness. Formation of Israel. Okay. Are we talking about the post-war?
Yeah.
Israel.
Or even just Israel itself.
As in like how,
what's the common feature of people who live, of Israelis, that most people would think of? What unites them? Stereotypically.
Oh, I don't want to go down that route.
Not racially. Okay. Well, I'll give you one guess. Just to say anything, and I'll tell you.
Okay. Is it going to be something... Is it anti-Israeli, so it's going to be something Zionist?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say line. Just the quiz, what the quiz is about. Yeah. What the Israeli embassy might ask people about, an annual contest.
How Jewish are you?
you're on the right lines.
Wow. Oh, well, now I want to change my thing.
No. Say
I was going to say maybe it was just going a totally different direction. It's just a big fat quiz of the year.
It's not, sadly. I mean, it is in a way, but no, it's a Bible contest.
Okay.
It's a quiz on the Bible. Now, I'll just explain the theory behind it, what's going on. It's organized by and held by the Israeli embassy, and winners get a prize. But contestants are sent forward from the provinces, the counties in Nigeria, and the local quizzes are held, and the winners of those local quizzes are then sent to the embassy for the big final quiz.
Okay.
And the organizers of the local quizzes in a lot of places are Christians United for Israel, whose headquarters are in Texas. And organizers who claim to work for Christians United for Israel are replacing local winners with their friends and their relatives.
Oh, wow.
For the national competition held in the Israeli embassy. Now, the American leaders of Christians United for Israel deny that they have any members or a branch in Nigeria.
Really?
Right. And the Israeli embassy has done nothing about it, even though this has become a big controversy.
Wow.
Okay.
So, yeah. Interesting and a bit weird.
That is good.
Still, two all. Much yes. easier questions now. Number 8. How many Americans, in percentage, believe JFK was killed by more than one shooter?
Wow.
Oh, Alex?
You go for it, yeah.
I'm going to say 60%.
Okay. Martin?
61%.
It is 61%.
That's amazing.
You almost said it, and I was like, "You're gonna get it straight away."
61%.
I knew. I feel like I should have given that to you because you did get so close. But yeah, it is 61%
on the nose.
On the nose.
That wasn't me trying to trump you by saying one extra percent. It wasn't at all. It was me knowing that it was 61%.
Thing is, I thought it was in the 60% because I think I looked that up.
Yeah.
Saw it recently.
In a survey in 2017.
Couldn't be more wrong. 61%.
61%. Wow.
3-1.
I mean, it's very compelling, in fairness.
Yeah,
it's
a compelling
argument.
It's weird, isn't it? It's that many.
It's not 3-1 to me, is it? It's 3-2, isn't it?
Sorry, 3-2. Did I say 3-1? Yeah. It is 3-2.
Yeah.
3-2.
Yeah. We sure?
Yes.
You got another point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, lovely.
Question 9. Which American president infamously gave a speech about the New World Order?
JFK?
Nope.
Is it...
Wow.
Ronald Reagan?
No.
Oh,
I can give you another guess.
Okay,
I can give you. A
is
clue
it earlier?
Well. I can give you a clue if you like. It's a president who did feature, a former president who featured in the news prominently in recent weeks.
Oh,
wow!
Was it George Bush Senior?
Yeah, it was indeed. It was. Did you know that, Martin?
As soon as you said featured in, recently,
because you said Reagan.
Slow on the buzzer.
Next door. It was George H.W. Bush.
Very good.
So 3-all.
As we head to question 10.
Question 10.
Blimey.
Question the final. Ooh.
Wow.
I didn't actually mean to do that. Sorry.
Right. Okay. Which star of the Marvel Cinematic Universe wants to reopen the investigation into 9/11?
Captain America.
I mean, that, wow. Okay.
Chris Evans.
You gave the same answer and you're both wrong.
Oh, okay.
The answer is...
Well, so we have another guess?
Well, okay.
I don't know anything about Marvel.
Should I have
known this from last week's quiz. or week before, whenever it was.
Which Marvel cinematic star? I'm just going to go for Robert Downey Jr.
It is not Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. Oh, okay. I don't know why I went for the character name. That's stupid, isn't it? Let's go for Samuel Jackson.
No, the answer is Mark Ruffalo. It's Mark Ruffalo.
That would have been my next guess.
And he has good reasons too.
Who does he play?
Hulk. Bruce Banner.
Okay.
So on to the tiebreaker. Still 3-all.
This has never been this tense.
This is a fun one. How long is a moment?
What?
Closest wins.
A moment.
How long is a moment? Give me...
Like scientifically?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
How? I don't know.
Okay. 0.01 seconds.
Okay.
0.02 seconds. I'm desperate for the win, Martin. I'm desperate.
Closest wins, Alex, technically.
one yes, second.
But a moment is 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
0.02. See, that wins it.
Here's the thing. I remember... I'm not sure I can really give it to you. But I remember growing up thinking it was 3 seconds. I don't know why I had that in my head.
Okay.
But I think it's something to do with like a hug. A hug technically lasts 3 seconds, and I conflated that with a moment.
I'm just thinking of the quickest kind of consciousness of something happening, like registering in your brain.
So that phrase, a moment. I'll take a moment or whatever.
A moment. You have 90 seconds.
I wouldn't think 90 seconds.
90 seconds. And the reason being that moment as a measurement of time began in medieval times, and they measured hours in moments, and there were 40 moments in an hour.
So, yeah, that's correct.
That's 90 seconds. Yeah. That's interesting. They didn't measure minutes, they measured moments.
That's really interesting.
On technicality, Alex, Alex wins. Well done. Victory of the year.
What a good way to
a shining start.
Start the new year. I feel like we both did pretty badly.
Some of those questions were very hard.
A few of them we should have got. Like the Philadelphia experiment, we should have got that, definitely.
Yeah, I thought you would. Yeah. It's all right. I'm glad you got chemtrails though.
Mine's blank. That was good. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was good. Yeah. Enjoyable quiz. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you very much. Thank you for participating. Yes.
Good game, Martin.
Very good. Well done.
Now you know a lot more about Israeli embassy quizzes.
That was
in Nigeria.
Good. That was good.
That was really interesting.
Yeah, I encourage you to look it up. It's quite interesting.
Was that just in the news?
In Nigerian news, yeah.
You go to Nigerian news sources?
On occasion, I like to see what's going down in Africa. Yeah. Sometimes I bless the rains down there too.
Very good.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us for our first podcast of 2019. Hopefully there'll be 51 more. Hope you stay with us for all of them. This will be going up on Spotify, Audio Boom, iTunes, although now it's Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
Yes, do leave us a review if you have time. Like, it really does make a difference to our ratings and gets new listeners in, because we'll be rated higher based on it.
And if you enjoy what we do here, then please do check out our YouTube channel, where we have videos covering in much more detail these big conspiracy topics.
Yeah, I'll leave a link in the description to the Ford Pinto as well, because it's a bit short. It's only like 2.5 minutes, which could be good. Quite dynamic. So yeah, check it out.
All right. Thank you, as always, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.